Mark chapter 8 tonight.
We'll see what we can see out of this. Verse 22. And just talk about some of the things I've learned personally through this portion of Scripture. I would expect that many of you have learned more. And we could all get up and talk about the same portion of Bible and learn a whole bunch more about God. Everybody brings a different perspective to the same Word of God, and you constantly learn from the Word of God. So I'll just share some things I've learned in myself and in the ministry and with the people in Tuvalu through this portion of Scripture. So beginning in verse 22, it says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Open our hearts to it. I pray that you would just allow and invite you to have free reign with your word. Lord, help us to learn from it, to grow from it, to please you better, and set our week by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you know, I'm not the big three-point outline guy, but you guys have done so well. I tried to break this up into three points. And the first point that I see about this when I look in this portion of Scripture is there's a lot of personal relationship going on. Or you could look at the people that brought this blind man to Jesus, and they were expecting that Jesus would just touch him. They weren't looking for much. They just wanted a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ, because they had heard and they knew that there were miracles being done and people being healed, and all you had to do was get touched by this man. But Jesus intends for and desires a whole lot more than just touching people. Amen. And a lot of people are looking in their lives for some quick fix or for a feel good on a Sunday, and they want to come in and just get kind of touched by Jesus, but that's not what Jesus wants. And he must have known the heart of this man, because Jesus never forces himself on people. He doesn't go around as some sort of bully in his creation and make people to love him. He certainly could, but he doesn't. That's what the bad guys do. And so he comes, and there's this relationship of this people that are bringing this blind man to Jesus, but then there's the relationship of Jesus with the blind man. And the first thing he did was he took the blind man by the hand and led him out. Walking with Jesus Christ is a very personal journey. And I don't know in this portion of Scripture if this is a picture of a man that was lost and is saved. I want to stay away from that, because I kind of don't think so. There are times in the Bible where somebody is healed from an ailment, but they never see Christ. And there are other times in the Bible where people are healed of an ailment, and it's not till later that they know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And in this portion of Scripture, the Bible says that he was restored. And because of that, I have to just say, I'm not too sure. I like to see myself in this portion of Scripture. I'll readily admit, I'm more blind than I have sight. And it seems like the more I read the Bible, and the closer I want to think that I'm getting to God, and the longer that I walk with God, and the more that I see in this world, the more I think He really did a lot when he saved me. Amen. And everybody I talk to that's older and has walked with the Lord for 60, 70, 80 years, they'll all tell me that the longer they live, the more of a sinner they realize they are. And it's one of those things where this man was restored, and I can't help but think, you know, you can't restore a car if you don't have a car to begin with. You can't restore a oak table or woodwork or a building unless you have those items to begin with. Just like the church, they added unto the church. Well, there had to be a church there to add to. And so I think this is a man that was restored to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a man that was made whole. But it starts with a personal relationship. A few minutes with Jesus has more value than all of man's inventions. Here you have a man that can't see, and for whatever reason, his sight has become blinded. As the Bible says that we can become blind and we don't see afar off. When the values of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ are denied by Christians. And we can become, as the Greek word, myopic. So we can't see away. And this personal relationship, this Jesus taking this man by this hand and leading him out of this town, a few minutes with Jesus changes things that medical science can't. And if Jesus can change things that medical science can't, and if Jesus can orchestrate things that the most tedious schedulers can't figure out, then I would think that each day, each time in our life, many times throughout the day, that our thoughts would constantly be bent on holding the hand of Jesus. And it's a relationship that can just be let go. It's not like it says Jesus grabbed him by the shoulders and dragged this man out of the city. And he didn't tie him up. He didn't grab him by the back of the neck. He didn't march this guy out of the city or throw him over his shoulder or any of those things. Literally just took his hand and led him step by step. And when we let Jesus do that, he is able to accomplish more in us than all of our intentions and inventions and desires and planning and thought could ever amount to. I remember after Curtis came out to the job site, and as I started to consider God for the first time ever, and I looked down at the tools in my hand and think, there's clearly more to life than these things. But no matter what I could have orchestrated, thought through, planned out, or looked forward and tried to schedule, save for, think about, and never in a million years would have said, I'm going to go to the South Pacific to some little strip of sand and share the gospel with people. And never in a million years would I have said that would bring meaning and purpose to life. I just wouldn't have thought so. Meaning and purpose was in cars and motorcycles and big houses and money in a savings account. It wasn't in a relationship with Christ. And the thing that I see here, I mean, among many things, is that with this relationship that is hand in hand, that Jesus leads you step by step, and you can't always see what's next, but that's okay. And this man desired sight. At the very least, his friends desired him to have sight. And this man also seemed to desire a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't know if he was minded like his friends and said, no, just touch me. I don't need to hold hands with you. We don't need to go out of the city. I do know that whenever I get away from God and I become blind and I can't see the way that I'm supposed to see, that I do have to get away. And I have to reassert to have my hand into the hand of Jesus. The way I do it is I always start in 1 John and I confess my sins because he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I do that not to get saved, but I do that because I'm saved and I need to be restored. And he says, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And then the next thing that I do is I go back to Genesis chapter 1 and I start to read, because it doesn't take long for me to realize the God that could orchestrate and create and think and speak all of that can handle my difficulties. Amen. And I have to be reminded of that all the time. I have to be restored to that position all the time. I have to have my hand put back into the hand of Christ all the time. And I don't think it's because he pulls away. I'm dead certain it's because I pull away. Amen. I wake up and I'm too busy to read my Bible. I focus on so many other things that I'm not thinking about the Word of God. I read the Word of God. Literally, my eyes are going down through the page and the words are going into my brain, and my brain is thinking about something completely different. Yeah, I'm glad you said, I'm starting to feel lonely up here. That's just the way I am. Maybe you're like that too. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. And I have found time and time again that just these few minutes alone with Christ, reasserting that connection with God that I can break if I want to, and I have to come to the conclusion, I don't want to break my relationship with Christ. I want to be close to God. When I assert that in myself, he seems to have a way of taking away my vision problems and getting rid of the blurriness around me, because sometimes, especially living in a foreign country, I mean, everything's different. Everything's different. Well, the air is the same. But no, even that's different. Everything's different. And you get focused, or you lose focus sometimes, and it's just kind of life is a blur. And you think that a day went by and 3 months went by, and you can't really figure out what happened. And you must have just been on autopilot. And you can look back, I can look back at preaching notes and the people and different relationships and things. But I can say very clearly that when my vision is bad, it is always because I have withdrawn my hand from the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. Doesn't mean he left me. Doesn't mean he forsook me. It just means that he's allowing me the space that I seem to want, so that maybe I can relearn to be close to him. And it's a personal journey. It's a personal relationship. And every single time you want to get close to Jesus, he's going to lead you out. He's going to kind of take your mind away from the things that have been troubling you, away from the culture that can oppress you, away from the people that stress you out. Whatever it might be, Jesus wants to pull you away from that so he can spend time with you. And it says that when he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And I like this part. I thought through it and I thought, yeah, that makes sense. I remember many times where someone will come and say, I have this problem with this thing, or I have my problem with that thing over there. And each time I can say, let's sit down, let's make a plan and talk, and you find out you're not reading the Word of God. You're not close to Jesus at all. And let's work on restoring that relationship. Let's get your hand back in the hand of Christ, and then let's see what is next to happen. And amazing things have happened. You can read your Bible and pray here and literally touch the other side of the world. Because what you can't communicate, and even if you could pick up a phone and text it, or even if you could call through or send a communication of some sort to somebody on the other side of the world, it's just a piece of paper or some words that sit there, but it doesn't get into the heart. And God has a way of talking to people on the other side of the world or wherever, distance from you, to put in their mind, hey, why don't you go over here instead of over there? Why don't you think on this person instead of that person? Why don't you spend some time in the Word of God instead of running off and doing this thing? And I've seen God bring relationships back together. I've seen God fix problems. I've seen God protect people, all because somebody was willing to look for what doesn't seem like it should work, but it does. Jesus spit in this man's eyes, and you say, what kind of science is that? Well, it's a science that works a whole lot better than laser surgery and eyeglasses and prescription appointments and all of these other things. Jesus knew what he needed, and he knew how he needed it, and he knew everything there was to know about this man, and they're developing this closer relationship. Next thing I want to notice is that as you increase in your relationship with Jesus Christ, it becomes a peopled relationship. So it's not just personal, it becomes peopled. And this, he asks him, he says, if he sees aught. He asked him, Jesus asked a question. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And as we leave this idea of personal relationship and start talking about this idea of peopled relationship, I want you to notice that this man was at a point where he's listening to the Word of God and he's answering the questions from God. He's literally talking to Jesus. He's hearing and he's speaking. He's reading and he's praying. The Bible is how God talks to us. Our prayer is how we talk to God. And as that develops, Jesus asked this question and says, what do you see? And the Bible says he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after he spent time with Jesus Christ, the thing that he saw, the thing that's starting to pull focus, the thing that's starting to become more clear, the first thing that he's recognizing is that he sees people. When we get away from Christ, we also get away from people.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. And when we teach at our church, we'll have a triangle and we'll draw, you know, up here is God and over here is husband and over here is wife. Wife runs from God. Husband draws closer to God. It's not going to really change that relationship that much, but if they'll both start to get closer to God and not focus on getting closer to each other, if they'll focus on getting closer to God, they will get closer together, but it'll bind and it will last. And you could look at that relationship between your kids and yourself, and the focus here as he starts to spend time with Jesus is that he starts to see people. And he starts to be able to see the shape, the form, but they're not taking a clear form yet. And as Jesus works for him, or with him, as he spends time with Christ, he starts to see people more clearly. I think it's interesting because Jesus took this man by the hand. He leads him out of town. They're standing or sitting or wherever they are. And yet the thing that he identifies is that people are moving along. That this life-changing event is happening, something that's going to be pinned down in the Word of God forever and forever, and people are just walking by. That's the way of life-changing events. If there's a car accident and people just keep driving by. Someone passes away and the world moves on. And here's this man being dealt with Jesus, getting closer to Jesus, is starting to have this personal relationship with Jesus, starting to pull focus on things for the first time. And the first thing he notices is that these hazy people that are like trees are walking by. They're not even interested in what's going on. He didn't say he saw them standing. He didn't say he saw them stooping or stopping or crowded around him. They're just going by. And he would have understood that when you get close to God and when God starts to clear your vision, doesn't mean anybody else cares. You don't do it because everybody else cares. You do it because you want to be close to God. You do it because you want to have a relationship with Him. Well, this man, I'm not totally sure of his motives. I'm actually a little bit curious about it. Because as he gets closer and closer to God, the Bible says that the second time he had his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And the longer this man spent in the presence of Jesus, the more clearly he saw people. I would say that's very, very true. The more I spend in the Word of God, the more I can clearly see people. And the more I spend in the Word of God, the more clearly I can even see myself. And you can start to see the motives and the intents of people. And you can start to see, you know, their health is gone because they have no joy in the Lord. Their fear is increased because they've cast out the gifts that God gives. And you can see the nature of people, why they're doing what they're doing. What's their real motive? Is it pride? Is it lust? Is it a pure love for God? And the more time this man spent with Jesus, the more peopled his experience became. As a born-again believer that's raised up in the local New Testament church, studies the Word of God, and then just God works that we go to another country to preach the gospel. You get to another country and, you know, you're walking, when you're in the United States, you're the hero of the minute. Everybody goes, wow, I could never do what you do. And you have no idea what that does to a person that struggles with pride, because part of you is saying, yeah, that's right, I'm doing something big. And it takes away that person from their personal relationship with Christ. If they're not careful, they'll hit they just won't ever get there mentally. But I can tell you that when we got in that plane and we left all of the hoopla and we're no longer the hero of today's church service or whatever church service it might be, and man, we're off and the plane banks around that tiny little island. This is where your home is going to be. And it's a twin prop plane and it landed and we all get out and all of our stuff is put down on the concrete. And it was the old terminal. It was kind of a dump. And then the plane takes off and you realize, man, we are here. Nowhere else we are. This is it. It's not any going back. The plane doesn't come for a while. So this is it. This is where we are. And you stop being the hero for the minute, and you stop, and you're wondering. You start to question, like, man, is my relationship with Jesus tight enough? Because this is going to be a big one. And you've got your kids to hustle through the airport, and you do all the normal stuff that you've done. And we have, you know, like I showed you, Fanua and Toma and others that could help usher us along to where we could stay for that very night when we landed, because we had never been to Tuvalu before. I couldn't find, survey trips in the scripture. So we didn't take a survey trip. Yeah. If God says go, we went. Other people, I don't know. Other people do. Fine. That's their walk. So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying for us, we didn't. And I got there, and it's strange. And you start to watch the people, and you start to study the people, and days go by, and weeks go by, and months go by, and you start to focus on the people. Why? Because your relationship with Jesus is closer than it was before, because you need to be. And you're reading your Bible, because this is what we're here for. And it gets real fast. And so now you're on the ground and your personal relationship with Jesus is bringing into focus people around you. And you start to learn the culture and you start to learn to sit on the circle and eat. I think it was like our first or second night there. We were eating with one of the previous prime ministers in his fala and on these like woven mats that are kind of like this hat, only flat. Spilling food everywhere and not knowing how to eat with our fingers and just kind of making a mess out of things. Sitting there in our American clothes and brand new pants and all this distinction between us. And they were having a farewell dinner for some family member. We don't even know. They left the next time the plane flew out because they went to New Zealand. And my point is that you spend all of this time looking at people and trying to figure them out. And there's a problem with that. It brings a perplexity. It brings a circumstance that I see in this scripture that I would never have seen. You see, when I look down through here and he leads the blind man by the hand and they develop that relationship and he fixes his eyes and Jesus is talking to him and asking him questions and he's answering back. And then the Bible says that he looked up. And then Jesus said, well, what do you see? And I see men, they're like trees. And then the next time I notice, it says, and he sent him away to, verse 25. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. And this is what I see, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And the very next thing Jesus does is say, go home. And I know from reading scriptures that there's a principle here that Jesus is not ready to reveal that he is actually God in the flesh. Just by saying that, he knows it'll bring the Jewish world down on top of him. And he is not ready yet to be offered. So he understands the timing of things, and he had told people before, don't say anything. What do? Run off and publish. He said, be quiet about this, and they make known abroad. And I always wondered about that disobedience to the word of Christ, and to tell you the truth, I don't really know. I know that when I found Christ, I couldn't be quiet. But I also know when I found Christ, God made me be quiet. I went running, hopped in my, at a 79 Trans Am, and I flew down the road to the nearest payphone, tried to call Pastor Sutton, and I dropped that quarter through that phone like 15 times. He wasn't available, so see, I know how that feels. And I wanted to tell him I got saved, but God prevented that. And I, looking back, I don't know why, but I do know this. I know that as long as we're in Tuvalu, if I get to focusing on the people too much, I actually lose focus again. Because you start focusing on people and you think your purpose is people and leading people to the Lord and spreading the gospel and life becomes all about your failures. Because God gets the tick mark for every success and I take on myself the tick mark for every failure, and pretty soon your column is pretty full and God looks pretty good over there and I'm over here and our hands aren't connected anymore, and I'm focusing so hard on people and day-to-day living and buying the food and talking to folks and trying to be nice that it becomes this whirlwind of a focus on people. And I think that's what this man did. You see, the second time when Jesus made his eyes, they're going to be very clear this time. He's going to see people like he never saw them before. And I can tell you, being in Tuvalu, that has been the case. I've seen me like I have never seen me before. Living in different conditions has a way of really dredging up any last little corners that need to be dusted out. And I can see my kids and my family better than I could before. Seeing is sometimes perplexing because you don't always know what to do. And I can see the people of Tuvalu better than I could before. And this man could see people better than he had seen them, at least for a long time, if he's being restored to a condition he was before. Maybe forever if he had been blind from early on. But whatever the case is, I know this, Jesus had to make him look up. And I know that when I have my children, if they're in trouble and I have to grab their chinny chin chin and make them look at me, I make sure they see me. And this man is looking down and he's not willing to look up for whatever reason. His focus is down and Jesus makes him look up and then he sees people clearly. There's not one mention of him seeing Christ for the first time. There's not one mention of him looking up, "What do you see?" "I see my Lord and my Savior." No. "What do you see?" "I see the one who saved me." "What do you see?" "I see the King of Kings." "What do you see?" "I see God Almighty." "What do you see?" "I don't need to see anything else." Nothing like that. No great Christian story to tell out of this. And I know that when you are focused on people very much, or you get busy with your children and you're focused on them and focused on function, and you're busy in church and you're focused on people and places and particular events that need to happen, and you get focused at work and you're focused on where you need to be and where other people need to be and how to orchestrate things, and you get focused on people in traffic, and pretty soon you see people, 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 and you forget to see God. I don't want to take this man and make him seem less, because the bottom line is, I don't know. But I can at least look at me and say that walking with Jesus is a personal journey, and I know that I have the ability to take my hand away from him. He'll never leave me, and I can't get him out, and I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. But I can withdraw, and I can refuse to develop in the Lord, and I can become blind, as the Scripture says, and forget that I was saved if I let it go too far. At the very least, that I cannot see afar off. And I know that it's a personal relationship that keeps that sight going. And I know that it's going to be a peopled experience, because my God cares about people. And that's his point and his purpose and his plan. But I also know that as I go through this living in Tuvalu and trying to please God there, that it can become perplexing. And we get sometimes so focused on the blessing of being able to share the gospel with people and people and people and people and people that we forget the God that we're sharing the gospel for. You see, everything was created for his pleasure. And that includes me talking to other people. And I'm not talking to people with the gospel for them. I'm talking with people to people with the gospel for God. And I have thought many times, and I've kind of scolded myself at first, and it seems so sacrilegious to even think, But at the end of the day, if I was in Tuvalu just for the people, I would have quit a long time ago. Many times and 100 times over that. Because people will frustrate you, including this people. And there's times where I would quit because I didn't have it in me. And there's times when I'd quit because I could see what it's doing to my family. And there's times when I would quit because I'm frustrated and tired of them. And people can be perplexing. And I think that if you stay so focused on people that the Jesus that's right in front of you, giving you the sight that you have to see people, if you don't acknowledge the presence of Christ and the hand of God, He literally has to make you look up and beg you, "What do you see?" "I see around you, God, and I see people, and I'm seeing what I want to see, but I don't see you anymore." How could you be that close to God and not see Him? I guess probably the same way you can be close to your family and not see their problems. And you can be close to the people at work and not see their need. And you can be close to yourself and see everybody else's problems more than yourself. And it's perplexing dealing with people, whether it's this one or those ones. So walking with Jesus, being restored with the Lord Jesus Christ, is a hand-in-hand personal experience. And He's going to talk to you, and you're going to talk to them. And He has questions for you, and you have opportunity to share your heart and your thought with Him. As you read and as you pray, and as you do that, He's going to start to restore vision that you can see people. And the people that you see aren't going to care about your closeness to God. They're just going to keep walking. So don't get frustrated and don't get so focused on them that it causes problems. But as Jesus continues to work with you, don't make Him make you look up to see Him. Sometimes kids will throw a fit and they'll misbehave and we'll come down on them, you know, reflex. But if I'm wise about it, I'll recognize that sometimes misbehavior is a child trying to get attention to see if you care and see if you love. And if you ignore it, they can only come to one conclusion. And I think that Jesus, in the desire for a close relationship with this man, was very disappointed with that first answer and was more deeply disappointed with the second. I don't want to get to the point where I see the Tuvaluan people, but I don't even see God that brought me to those people. Because after that, what's the point? Then you're just trying to organize game nights and spend time, and they're just going to disappoint you, and you go fishing and not catch anything, or they fly off and you say, "Well, they're leaving and going to other countries for their pursuits. Why would I keep my family here in these conditions for an ungrateful people?" Moses ran into that when he came down off of the mountain and he hurled the Ten Commandments down. It wasn't his to break the word of God. And God basically had to let him know, listen, if you're working with people, you have to understand people are going to frustrate you. But if you keep your eyes focused on the God of those people, then the people become much less perplexing. So I've had to learn, and I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I've had to really push myself to kind of see God first and then see people through Him. And it causes others that are just seeing people direct to be frustrated with that position. Because sometimes it seems like you're being too patient and too long-suffering and too loving and too kind when they deserve so much different. But then I always remember that's what my God is to me. So I want Him to deal with this people the way I want Him to deal with those people. So as we're in Tuvalu, it's personal walking with Jesus, more personal than I've ever had in my life. And it's peopled. I've seen and studied the human condition more than ever before, including my own. But it's also perplexing. And you have to make sure that you don't pull your focus off of God just to see men. There's a balance. And the balance is seeing the God that's right in front of you, staying close to the God that wants to be close to you, and seeing the people that are just walking by. And kind of with that package, you can go out and do something. What I notice here is that after Jesus had to make him look up and he didn't see Christ at all, Jesus basically just said, go home. And I think that that's when you get in a pretty bad place. I think that's when people stop going to church, stop desiring the Word of God, because they just don't see any point. And they can't figure out, well, if God's like this, if God's so good, why does this happen? And why this and why that? And all these questions for God. And they're not busy spending any time answering the questions from God. So people, when you go out into your D.C. area, Washington, it's just amazing we're here, but this part of the world, try your very best to kind of stand back for a minute and make sure that your relationship with Christ is hand in hand and tender before you go out and try to work with people. And then if you'll follow his pattern working with people, be gentle, be kind, lead them by hand. Find a private place to talk to them. Nobody likes talking about their sin in front of everybody else. Even if there just could be people, respect them. Respect their time. And when they just walk by, just keep your focus on God. Because I know this, people will definitely hurt you. But if that's what you're all about, then you'll give up. And it's got to be all about Christ. So keep it up. This church is amazing. I listen to your giving, and I look at the group, and I think, wow, this is just phenomenal. Our tithe is about $525 a month on average for 70 people, you know, over all those weeks. And I'm thrilled to death to have that. I just can't even imagine the numbers. But I think this, and maybe I'm wrong, you must love God. If you didn't love God, you wouldn't give like you do. And you wouldn't have a heart for missions like you do. Just keep loving God. Let the people come as God develops them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. I hope I didn't say anything that's wrong. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us to find the truth in your word that we need for our lives. I pray that you would forgive us all the times that we have to be restored, and yet we're so grateful for you that restore us to our walk with you, that you'll continue to bring us close, even though we continue to pull our hand from yours from time to time. I pray that you'd help us to see people clearly, but before we ever look at people, help us to see you first each and every day. Help us to listen to your questions, to know your heart, and to allow you to work on us that we might have the best week, the best day, the best life that we could have. Help us to be gentle and to be kind. And Lord, I pray above all that you would not just send us home, but you would send each and every one of us out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.